Thus saith the Lord of hosts, your hands be strong, ye that hear in these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundations of the house of the Lord of hosts were laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. The seed shall prosper, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And I'm reading now the text verse. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, I repented not. Together also on 15. So again have I sought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. And let's pray. Lord, it's good that you've given us a place to come, a place such as this, a place that's dear to our hearts, because this is where we with thy people, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is where we hear from thee through the man of God. Now that thou wouldst bless in the preaching, but bless too in the listening. Each one in attendance might hear that which will be helpful and a blessing and of strength, that we might have that which to place the week ahead. A week of unknown quantity, a week of thou dost put in our pathway, and so help us and bless us tonight in Jesus' name.
Tonight from the little statement in chapter 8, verse 13 that says, ye shall be a blessing. In the Bible, you have a similar. God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he said, I will make thee a blessing. And then in Zechariah chapter 8 and 13, God says concerning his people, ye shall be a blessing. I want to speak tonight on the subject, your real problem. Your real problem. Every problem, I don't care what it is, its root is selfish. Years ago called the cancer of covetousness. The cancer of covetousness. But every problem that you have is in covetousness, which is another word for selfishness. Whatever it is, your problem is selfish. Father, bless us tonight, and I pray you give us another look at an old truth that we have viewed before, but be more beautiful to see than it has been. And I pray that a few folks, a few other people, shall get the idea again, for the first time, about this thing of living for others. Amen. Do you have problems with melancholy? Melancholy spirit? Get blue? Down? What your trouble is. You're not being a blessing. You're more concerned about getting. Are you listening? You're more concerned about getting a blessing than you are about being a blessing. You get lonely. Sometimes you just want to throw up in your hands and say nobody understands and nobody cares. Nobody knows my problems and so forth. I'll tell you what your problem. Your problem is you got eye trouble that optometrists can't help. It's thinking about yourself. It's not being a blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, as sure as I'm an inch high, the happy folks in life are the folks who spend their lives being a blessing. And the unhappy folks are those who are always worried and concerned about receiving a blessing. Do you get discouraged easily? You just get to the place where you get to discouraged. You don't know how you can face tomorrow. I'll be honest with you, folks. Don't think I'm trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not. But I just can't comprehend all these blue spirits in a Christian. I can't understand it. I just sitting out yonder in the parking lot tonight, most of you have a nice car with a heater and a top ready to take you home. I can't understand all this blue discouragement and griping and being. It's the honest truth is, I've got a picture right here in my hand that somebody gave to me a while ago. I think I still have it here, of a little boy, or I'm sorry, an older Cambodian woman drying a young, badly malnourished boy outside a hospital in a Thailand refugee camp. Now, choir, look at this and tell me if you understand it. So blue today, well then get on blue. Not get busy and do something for somebody else. How in the world can I'm discouraged? All fooey on you. Somebody said, I came here, you didn't get what I needed. I knew what you need. You're kicking the pants. Very idea of thinking about what you need. What you need is to forget what you need. What you need is to lose yourself. I mean the very idea of being discouraged. Yes, and blue, and feeling sorry for yourself, and melancholy. When you're a garage, did you hear me? I said, you're a garage. Would be the best house most of the people in the world ever lived in. It's sin like murder is sin. It's sin like stealing is sin. It's sin. I just don't feel like nothing's going my way. All fooey. You know better than that. Good night. What do you mean? You got a heater in your house. Oh, but the fuel's getting so high. But you got money to pay for it. America lives tonight more luxuriously than any country has ever lived since Adam and Eve graced the Garden of Eden. You know it's the truth. And the reason for your melancholy and your discouragement, despondency and your loneliness is nothing in this world but rank sinful selfishness. That's all. Good night. Can't sleep at night. When I think about that, Pleasant, can you sleep at night? Sure. Bill Hart used to say it. I can't sleep at night. Pretty good in the morning, fairly good in the afternoon, but talking all night long. You ought to see John Rice go to sleep sometime. Time or two, I had to share a room with him. And he can snore in 17 languages. Don't see him go to sleep. He lays there. He reads his Bible. Not very long, by the way. I was shocked. First time I were to spend the night with him, I thought I'd read 4 or 5 chapters. He'd get on my knees and act real pious. But he'd done been prayed up. It's like the old preacher, great old giant of God, was at a convention. A young preacher spending had to share the room with him. And the heater was broken. And so the young preacher got on his knees and trembled. And the old man went to sleep. The great old giant of God. And the young man said, "Why, doctor, don't you say your prayers before you go to bed?" He says, "Young man, I keep prayed up for such times as this." And but John Rice, here's how he goes to sleep. I've seen him. He goes to bed, reads his Bible, fluffs his, lifts his head, looks to the left, looks to the right, and says, and he said it. He looked to the left, looked right, and said, "That's it." I mean, wham! If you'd have thrown a rock, hit him in the head, it'd been longer for him to go to sleep. I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink. That is true. That's your problem, selfishness. Thinking about yourself.
just...
Oh, how can I get it all done tomorrow? Well, good night. Get up and do it tonight. Silly, 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 silly. I wonder what she thinks about me. Well, call her back there. Dummy. Sadness. Bitterness. Hurt feelings. All of it. All of it is built on the foundation of selfishness. You don't want to be a blessing, you want a blessing. America is going to hell over this heresy. I am a policeman, but the town crime can go unthwarted because I'm not getting enough money. As far as I'm concerned, you can quit the force. I'm a fireman. The town can burn down, far as I'm concerned, and I'll help burn it down. Because I'm not getting enough money, far as I'm concerned. You're not fit to be a fireman. I'm a doctor. If I get higher wages, I'll not take care of my patients. You ought to be a ditch digger. I'm a nurse. I will not take care of those who are ill. So I get more money. You're a pretty sorry nurse. I'm a school teacher. Nothing in the world makes me madder. Nothing makes me madder. And about this time of the year, a bunch of left-wing pink school teachers, long hippie hair on the men and pants on the women, running up down, hey, we want more money. We can't give these kids a good education. The truth is, you can't do it anyhow. I'm simply saying... Self, I, me, our, ours, us, me, we. Nobody ever got happy that way. Nobody ever did. No, sir. There never has been a house in this world made anybody happy. Never has been a car in this world made anybody happy. Never has been a job in this world made anybody happy. Never has been a dollar bill in this world made anybody happy. Never has been a thing in this world made anybody happy. The happy folks in this world are those who found the great secret. The Christian life is being a blessing. That's the great secret. Simple as that. Here it is. Here it is. Be a blessing will cure your melancholy. Being a blessing will, by the way, if you're lonely, get out yonder to somebody that's hungry. Feed them. You won't be lonely. You got to be with somebody to feed somebody. Nobody ever comes by to see me. Well, go by to see somebody. And by the way, with your crabby disposition, I wonder if nobody ever comes by to see you. I'd sure hate to. Being a blessing will cure your loneliness. It'll cure your discouragement. It'll cure your complaining. It'll cure your discontent. It'll cure your sadness. It'll cure your bitterness. It'll cure your hurt feeling. It'll cure your retaliation. It'll cure your jealousy. All of it is built on the sinking sand of I want my way. The whole country's built that way. Never has been a more discontented country on the face of the earth than the United States of America is tonight. Brother, if pills. We have sleeping pills to put us to sleep and no dose pills to keep us awake. We have ha-ha pills to make us laugh and boo-hoo pills to make us cry. We have tranquilizing pills to make us tranquil. We have compose to keep us calm. The honest truth is, if you took everything in your purse right now, your left eye would cry and your left eye would, right eye would gleam. I'm simply saying, throw them all away. You don't need them. Hold it, Brother Howe. I just couldn't live without my pill. I was preaching down East Texas one night, never forget it. All these colored preachers can preach. Man, you've never heard preaching in your life. I hate to tell this story. You guys, you black fellas are too big, and you scare me to death, and you look at me and don't smile. When I see those white teeth coming through, I feel a heap better, but you scare me to death. But I was preaching in a black convention in Detroit, Michigan. And the preachers are preaching me without preaching me. I preached the best I could, but But I was the worst preacher on the program, and I knew it because all the rest of them were black, and I wasn't coming close. I preached the first time, and I felt like an unnecessary object. I preached the second time, and I felt melancholy, lonely, discouraged, complaining, discontented, couldn't sleep at night. I was sad, bitter, had hurt feelings. But I decided that last sermon, I was going to out-preach those black preachers. I got the best sermon I had, more rousements in it than any sermon I had. And I just going to do it. Boy, I cut loose. Man, we tiptoed with the angels. I barred their wings and flew around the auditorium. I mean, the New Jerusalem was never newer, and the golden streets were never more golden. And an angel stood beside me while I preached. Right in the middle of my sermon, one of those black brethren jumped up there in an old black southern drawl. And he said, I was talking about Jesus says in Genesis, you know, he's the promised seed in Exodus, he's the Passover, in Leviticus, he's the scapegoat, in Numbers, he's the brazen servant, in Deuteronomy, he's the lawgiver, in Joshua, he's prophet, priest, and king, in Judges, he's the judge. And I got about halfway through the Old Testament, went over to Brother John. He said, man, he said, call a roll, brother, call a roll. Right in the middle of the sermon, same fella got all excited, and he said, don't get mad at me, Gerald. He said, he jumped up and said, bless God, hallelujah. He said, man, I'm going to check your ancestry. He said, man, preach like that's got some Negro blood in him somewhere. Except he didn't say Negro. He used the word white folks can't say about the black folks, but he used the word. I heard a black preacher preach. I used to preach years ago at the state convention for the black folks back when I was a young man. Every year they'd have me for the state convention down in Texas for a certain black convention. And then they had wooden floors at that church, and they'd start on the floor of their feet, going like that. But one old preacher got up, and he said, I'm preaching on pigs. Oh, he said, you got in your purse black pigs. Pills, and little pills, and big pills, and oblong pills, and round pills. But you see, what you need is a pill. Now, that's what you need. That's what you need. If you get the gospel, and that'll substitute for all the other pills. You guys saying amen, won't sleep tonight. Maybe not saying amen, sleeping right now. Illustrating my whole sermon beautifully well. Jesus said it. He said, he that seeketh his life shall lose it. There it is. He that loseth his life for my sake, there it is. Simple as ABC. He said it again. He said, the servant is the greatest of all. See, you think that happiness is receiving, but happiness is giving. You think that happiness is being served, but happiness is serving. You think that happiness is accumulating, but happiness is dispersing. You think that happiness is resting, but happiness is working. You think that happiness is commanding, but happiness is obeying. You think that happiness is gaining, but happiness is losing yourself. You think that happiness is being loved, but happiness is loving. You think that happiness is having a friend, but happiness is being a friend. You think that happiness is being helped, but happiness is helping. You think of happiness as exaltation, but happiness is humiliation. You think of happiness, you guys think of preaching, you young preachers, think of preaching. You think, boy, I love to preach. I tell you, and what you think about is standing up here and skinning somebody and pounding the pulpit and hollering and screaming and bellowing, have some folks saying amen. But when I think of pastoring a church, I sitting in the study with tears rolling down on my shoulders off the cheeks of somebody trying to help somebody who's in trouble. We got one of the greatest songs ever written. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. It goes on to say, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. That's it. That's it. That'll solve your problems. That'll make you happy. That'll solve your blueness. That'll solve your melancholy. That'll solve your loneliness. It'll solve it all. say, "Dear God, help me," but you say, "For the house." How can I be a blessing? Now, don't get into that. If this church were located in a little hamlet somewhere with 50 people, you might come to me and say, "For the house, how can I be a blessing to somebody, or where can I find some folks to help?" But don't you ask me that question in Chicago and the Calumet region. I mean, you've got folks sitting within spitting distance of you right now that you could help and to whom you could be a blessing. I'll say this. You're never going to be happy just because you're going to get a new house. The honest truth is, most of us, the first house we ever had is all we need. But you're not going to be happy with the new house or the new car or the new job or the promotion or the attention or the popularity or the... going to do it. Now, I know. We say, Jesus is the answer. Christ. I know it. It's trite. I know it. Say it again. But it's true. If I could cuss, I would. It's true. Blankety-blanket, it's true. By cracky, it's true. It's not a sermon, it's reality. Lose yourself. Forget yourself. There are people in this right now. I've been to 14 doctors this year. Didn't need to go to one of them. All you want is somebody hear you tell what's wrong with you. That's one reason why there are a few of you. I never ask you how you feel. I don't have time. If you want to forget your headache, find somebody else that has a headache. Help him cure his. If you want to forget your loneliness, find somebody who's lonely and help them get companionship and you'll forget your loneliness. Out in Seattle, Washington. Don Dinsmore. They had to have $40,000 in that little church. Don's a graduate of our school, our college. Has a little small church out there, the 150 people, I guess. And they had to have $40,000. And boy, $40,000 for them is like $2.5 million for the college for us one time. Can you imagine a little church with 100 people or so trying to raise $40,000, and they had to have it to put down on a new building? Because they had to leave the place and the Sunday morning of the deadline, they didn't have it. They had $36,000. And instead of trying to raise the $4,000 because Don had worked as hard as he could to get it, Don just decided to preach to sinners. He preached the gospel, gave an invitation to unsaved people. And a man came down the aisle who was deaf and had cerebral palsy. And got saved. Old Don just preached the gospel. Forgot the $4,000. Now, can you imagine a fella came here, walking down the aisle with cerebral palsy? And after the guy got saved, he wrote a check for $4,000 and they got their building. Come on, deaf folks. Look what they're doing over yonder in Seattle, Washington. I mean, that's it. Last week, before last, I drove along the railroad track where my mother used to send me to pick wild mustard greens so it'd have something to eat. Many a day, mother said, "Son, go down and see if there's any mustard greens left down there beside the railroad tracks." I'd walk down Exeter Street to Frio Drive and look along the railroad tracks for mustard greens growing wild. Take them home. Mama would cook mustard greens. That's all we ate. I went to the store, Gordon's store, where I used to sit out in the back, stand outside where the garbage can was, until they cut all the meat they could off the bone and threw the bone in the garbage. So I could take the bone that was in the garbage can home so Mama could make soup with it. But we were happy. I'd go down and say, "Mr. Gordon, you have an old bone for the dog?" He said, "Sure. You take a bone out of the garbage can and give it to me, I'd take it home." He never knew it. He didn't have a dog. Mama makes soup out of it. But we were happy. I got out of the car the other day at the very spot. got my first birthday present I ever had. It was five pieces of candy on my sixth birthday. Five penny pieces of candy. Used to call it a little chocolate soldier candy. And I got five penny pieces of chocolate soldier candy. And I stopped there. I got my first birthday present. Never had in my life on my sixth birthday. But we were happy. I went to the railroad track. Her mom used to say, son, go down the railroad tracks and see if anybody has thrown some pop bottles out of the inner urban. That's a train-like thing, sort of a combination of a train and a streetcar. And you know what a streetcar is either, do you? But I go down to the inner urban track and see if you can find some pop bottles. And I collect all the pop bottles I could find that folks had thrown out the window of the inner urban and go down to Gordon's and sell them for 2 cents a piece. And if I had five of them, we'd get a dime. We could buy a loaf of bread for a dime. Come home and have a loaf of bread for lunch. We're happy. Nothing is as blown up as man's ideas about happiness. Nothing. Every single thing the average person thinks will make them happy. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, it's vanity and vexation of spirit. It's like taking a baseball bat and taking a practice swing. There's no baseball there. And you say, there it is. Hey, that's what I want right there. And I'll be happy. And you reach for it, and it's just air. You say, that's what it is. That's just air. You reach for it, it's gone. Nothing. Listen, folks, did you know that there is not one single person at the disco tonight who's happy? Not one. Not one. Give me a little background music, Caroline. Not a one of them. Not a one of them. Eat your hearts out, fellas. Not a one of them. Nobody. There is not one single person. I mean with all the satin and silk. I mean with all the liquor. I mean with all the money. I mean with all the generation. There is not one happy person there. Not one. Not one happy person in the tavern tonight. Last night I was driving home late. Drove down this little leap in, limp out place down there and drove by. And there was a young lady. She couldn't have been 20 years of age. She couldn't have been. And I waited for her to cross the street. I was going to turn left on Kane there because I love that early American street. And, that the mayor doesn't fix. I'm running for office myself and get mayor and fix that street. But anyhow, I started turning, but this little lady, she couldn't have been 20. I'm guessing 18, 19 years of age. I waited for her to cross from the tracks there across to that tavern. And she couldn't walk. She tried to get like that. And I rolled down the window and I said, little lady, there's a life on it. When you're living, and God loves you, stumbled on down to the tavern and stumbled inside. I stopped down at that tavern a few years ago on Saturday night, walked in, and just for a few minutes I just stopped and spoke to those people down there, and I said, folks, there's something better than this. There's something better than this. There's not a happy person down there tonight. Not a one. There's not a happy person. There's not a red there's not a nightclub in Las Vegas that has one happy person. None. There's not a rock concert. There's not a liquor store. A red light district. By the way, watch sometimes some of those whoremongers like Johnny Carson. Watch them. And watch those people come out. And listen. Hey, boy, you say, boy, if I could just be a Hollywood movie star, if you were, you'd be as miserable. There is not one happy person that comes on those programs. Not one. They're searching and searching and searching and searching. But the thing for which they're searching is that man lost in the Garden of Eden. And that was God. And fellowship with this God. And no bottle of beer is going to take the place that was made absent when God left. And no dope needle or pot cigarette is going to take the place of what God left when the vacancy that was left when God left. And no rock concert and no rock music
and no wardrobe and no beer and no martini and no dancing and no disco is going to take the place of what was left when God left. And what they don't know is this: the guy that's stumbling down a State Street in Calumet City tonight, what he doesn't know is this: he's searching for God and doesn't realize. Look, Elijah made it fine till he got thinking about it. He said, "She's gonna kill me." He said, "I am the only one left." Elijah sat down on the juniper tree and got discouraged. Elijah thought about the blessings of God and the power of God and the fire falling. Elijah wasn't unhappy. He got unhappy when he quit being a blessing. Thought about himself. Look at Saul. Saul was the best man in Israel when he was thinking about others. He got jealous. They sang, "David, Saul has slain his thousands, and David is tens of thousands." And Saul got jealous. And Saul said, "I'll kill that little fellow, David." And Saul got thinking about himself. He forgot about being a blessing. Miserable. Had to call for, he said, "I need some music to calm your nerves." You don't need music to calm your nerves. I'm not against music. I like good music. But, buddy, here's the nerve calmer right here. You heard me say this. I was sitting over there in the auditorium that burned about a year after I came here. Betty Kirk, I think, was my secretary at the time. And I was sitting over there in the auditorium that about where the nurseries are now is about where I was sitting. It used to be the auditorium. It burned in 1964, I think it was. And I was reading the Bible. Go down to Isaiah chapter 9. I had a commentary there with me. Clark. Go down to Isaiah chapter, sitting in the auditorium. And I got down to Isaiah 9:6. His name should be called Wonderful. And Counselor. And Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I got down to that term, Prince of Peace. And I looked it up in the original language. And it said it means tranquilizer. Tranquilizer. His name shall be called Tranquilizer. And I got happy. And I said, "Woo! Glory to God." I never forget it. My secretary came running out of her office and running upstairs, running the office. "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing's wrong. I'm just taking a tranquilizer." Folks, there's nothing wrong with you unless you have something busy. I mean, if your gizzard's got a hole in it, something like that. I don't want that. But, you know, if your gallbladder ain't got no gall, I can't. And I'm not talking about that. But another one of these doctors tonight wouldn't agree with this. That 90% of your trouble is psychosomatic. Now, I'm not talking about falling hair. It's real if you're losing your hair. It's real. Not caused by... I used to fret myself to death about losing my hair. And I just decided, bless God, that bald-headed men are better looking. And I'm not going. I'm just going to keep taking these two I got and weaving them across my head and matting them up there and spraying them before they fall out. And I got a lot of hair to fall out if it wasn't glued to one. Some is still in. I'm not going to worry about it, really. I wish I had some more hair. But I'm better looking than a lot of you guys that got hair. Aren't we, Dave? One thing I appreciate about Brother Preacher about today, Brother, he's doing everything he can to follow in his father's footsteps. And I appreciate that. Look at David. David was a man after God's own heart when he was concerned about being a blessing. When David decided to get selfish and think about himself, he got in trouble. Look at Judas. Look at Solomon, wisest man in the whole world. He got selfish. Got married 300 times and had 700 scrubs ready in case some of the first team got injured. Look, laugh when I tell them. I haven't got time to wait around here for you to laugh. Look at Abraham. Abraham forgot himself, forgot his own needs, and lost himself. Abraham, okay, he's a blessing. Abraham got down to the promised land, got worried about getting have enough food to eat, got worried about himself, went down to Egypt, thought about himself, got in trouble. Met Hagar, brought her back, went in. He gave a birth to a baby, and the whole world is rocking and reading right now because of what he did. Look at Jonah. Jonah forgot about himself, went up down the streets of Nineveh saying, 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. What a blessing it was. They repented. Jonah didn't account for that. He got right with God, and God didn't destroy him. And Jonah got under a gourd, and God said, Lord, Jonah said, Lord, said you, I mean, I know these folks are going to be destroyed, and they're still living. Thought about himself. I was thinking last night, Jesus said his glory was the cross. Think about that. Could that be his glory? Could the glory of Christ be when the spittle was on his brow and his back was beaten beyond human recognition? Could his glory be when he was beaten so much that you could not even tell his body was that of a human being at all? Could his glory be when they took him and scourged him with a cat of nine tails? Could his glory be when he had nails in his hands and feet and a spear in his side, a crown of thorns on his head, and the King of Glory had no throne but a cross and no crown but a crown of thorns and no scepter but a walking stick and no royal robe but a borrowed overcoat from a soldier and no subjects but a jeering mob? Could that be his glory when God in the flesh gave his life and dipped his own soul into hell and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken? That was his glory. Why was it his glory? Because that's when he forgot about himself. His glory was not his birth. Angels announced his coming to shepherds watching their flocks by night. His glory was not his childhood when wise men came in his early childhood and brought gifts from the east of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. His glory was not his transfiguration when he and Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John fellowship there on Mount Tabor. That was not. His glory was not in his resurrection. When he rose from the grave, he didn't say that was his glory. He didn't say his glory was on that, what we call Palm Sunday sometimes, when he rode the foal of an ass down the street of the city and they cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That wasn't his glory. He didn't call his glory when he returns and calls his own from the graves and raptures those who are alive. He didn't call that his glory. He didn't say his glory was when he was when his coronation day, when he's crowned as King of Kings and ascends the royal stairway of Mount Zion and sets on the throne to conquer and rule the whole world for 1,000 years. He didn't call that his glory. He called his glory the cross when he was a blessing. Now I want you to hear me for a minute. I've watched it for years. I've watched it for years. As folks, hear me carefully, as folks get more wrapped up in the accumulation of the things of this world, they become more discontented. I can tell you people that were happy as they could be in this church. Now, hold it. Listen carefully. Don't miss it. When you become discontented with your house and your lot in life, it transfers into other areas of your life. You're not discontented because you don't have what you want. You're discontented because you're discontented. The lack of outward things that make you discontented, the lack of something on the inside made you discontented. Follow me. Every week of my life, I talk to at least that many preachers, a dozen preachers, having trouble. Dr. Evans, it's always the same story. Somebody in my church is causing trouble. It's always somebody who's rich, well-known, humanly successful more than others. Always is. Nobody ever calls and says, the garbage collectors give me trouble. Never do. Hey, listen to me. You better watch it. As you get a better job, and as you open your billfold and find more dollars there, you better watch it. And as you see that business growing, you better watch it. I said watch it. Because discontentment will creep in far more to folks who have than to folks who have not. I'm not saying you shouldn't have. I'm just saying as you get it, listen. I never heard of an illiterate person causing church trouble.
It's always the guy that's got the degree. You better watch it. If God has given you a little more formal training than anybody else, you watch it more carefully. If God has given you a little more exalted position where you work than he has others, you better watch it carefully. If God has given you a nicer car to drive than he has others, you better watch it carefully. Better watch it. Better watch it. You've heard me say this again and again and again, but ladies and gentlemen, that little thing right there never made anybody happy. I don't care how many of those things you got stacked up, they won't make you happy. I don't care how many of those things you got stacked up for rainy day. Bless God, let me tell you something. You better get Matthew 6:33 stacked up for rainy day. You better get Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19 stacked up for your rainy day. Because I want to tell you something, folks. That thing right there, there's no place in the world you can put it that you know it'll be there and you go to get it. No way. None. Buy a United States savings bonds. You don't know it'll be there. Truth is, the bonds you've got bought now, it's not there. They're not a business in the world. If any business in this world ran its business like the United States government, it wouldn't last a year. Oh, but it's okay. I'll put it in the bank. Because in the bank, it is insured. Oh, have you heard what the insurance company's name is? United States government. That's that same business I mentioned a while ago. It's going bankrupt. Put it in a tin can, bury it in the backyard. When you dig it up, it'll be worth half what it was when you buried it. You know, I never checked the stock pages. You know, I don't care what the Dow Jones averages are. I check and see what Ernie Bank. Dave Kingman's average is. I don't care. Gold standard? Doesn't affect me. I haven't got any standard or gold. And doesn't affect me at all. Somebody said, do you have a retirement plan? Yes, I do. So what is it? Philippians 4:19, Philippians 4:13, Matthew 6:33. That never made anybody happy. Hey, that broke up happy relationships. That caused brothers not to speak to each other. That caused sisters to fuss over daddy's departed death. That caused church members to divide. That caused deacons not to be on the same board anymore. That caused partners to break up. That caused Christian people not to speak to each other when they walk inside church anymore. That's all it's called. What's the secret? Secret's to give and give and give and give and give. What's the secret? Serve and serve. And serve, and serve, and serve. What's the secret? To share, and share, and share, and share, and share. What's the secret? To help, and help, and help, and help, and feed, and clothe, and give. That's the secret. Let me show you what happens. Listen here. Some of you school people better watch it. A person in full-time Christian work has no business trying to get a lot of money. I'm mad at you now. I'm trying to help you. No business at all. Better watch it. I know many a preacher that's dabbled in some kind of business on the side. And in a few years, he's dabbling on the side with preaching. Better watch it. Just because you went to a Christian college and just because you're in full-time Christian service did not give you a vaccination against greed and trying to stack it up. How do you happy folks are? Happy folks are some of those little college professors or school teachers. We try to pay them a decent wage, but we can't. But they've lost themselves in trying to help those young people. They go to bed at night. Before they go to bed, they pray for them. They counsel with them and have them on their heart. Wake up in the night hours. Get on their knees beside the bed and pray for those young people. Who are the happy folks? The Mrs. Bartell gets a few dollars a month, puts an envelope, slides it under my door, says, give it to some deserving college student. I know what we're going to have. We're going to have 100 deserving college students by my door tonight. Yeah. Who are the happy folks? Folks spent the afternoon down here, youth center, for the Dave, his crowd, these kids over here. Some of you Pharisees couldn't care less about these kids. You don't care if they live or die. You're the ones that are miserable. These folks that give their Sunday afternoons down at the youth center while your toes are turned toward heaven. You get up, wake up, Started dark.
Oh, where am I? Who am I? Am I?
Well, some of these folks are down there at the youth center saying this is the way you match your tie with your handkerchief. This is the way you say good morning. And this is the way you answer the telephone. And this is how you say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. They've learned how to be a blessing. Who are the happy people? Folks that get up on Sunday morning bright and early and go gather their bus people all up.
Oh, you say it's those dirty bus kids.
I know. Take another pill and go back to sleep. I wouldn't trade one of the dirty bus kid for 10 Pharisees. I mean that. I want you to notice this. God said to Abraham, thou shalt be a blessing. He was a blessing, but he said, God said to Abraham, after you're gone, you will still be a blessing. I've said so often, you may take my life, but you won't kill Jack Hiles. I got too many hundreds of thousands of tapes all this country. I'll be preaching every day, long time after I'm gone. I got over almost 6 million copies of books now, all over this country. I've got literally hundreds of preacher boys that call me. I know I have 10,000 pastors in America that call me their pastor. I know that. I got too much invested. I've received a lot of blessings. I wear nice clothes. They're all given to me. Every time I wear this suit, I get all kinds of compliments. All kinds. I don't understand why. I just look so nice today. This suit was worn for several years for Dr. Bill Rice. When Dr. Bill died, Kathy sent me this suit. Said this one Dr. Bill's favorite suits. I think you'd like to have it. I wear it. Pray for Dr. Bill's family. Thank God for Dr. Bill Rice several times a day when I wear it. God's been good to me. I drive a good car. I drive the church mail car when it's not in use. I could drive a Cadillac. I really could. I could pick up the phone tomorrow and call Russ Lander and say, Russ, I'd like to have a Cadillac. I'd have one before sundown. A certain man called me out to his car. It's a Mercedes-Benz, $30,000 car. Said it's yours. Sure. I could be driving a Mercedes-Benz. Say, why don't you? Well, what I'm driving goes where I want to go. But you say, Brother Hiles, you could drive in class. I'm driving class now. I just want to live my life to be a blessing. So, let me ask you a question. How big a hole would it leave if you left, if you died? Hey, would any little child in a Christian school, poor kid, have to find somebody else to pay his tuition? Hey, if you died tonight, would any little poor kid in a Christian school have to find or drop out of school or find somebody else to pay his tuition? Huh? If you died tonight, would anybody have to find someone else to counsel them? Help them? I'm convinced that the greatest blessing in this world is the blessing of being a blessing. And I'm going to close now, but you know, I didn't know all through the years what my life would hold. I didn't know it. But I've been trying to help other people for many, many years. And that's the truth. I didn't know I'd end up minister traveling like I do and going all over the country. Trying to keep from being lonely sometimes. But you know what I've got? I got people I've been a blessing to all over the world. And I don't go anywhere. But they're there. They meet me at airport. Stand up before I preach across the country. That's my preacher, like these crazy folks did up here. I mean, like these folks did up here tonight about Brother Wally. They're all over America. I got a man who mad at me not long ago in a certain city. He came out, an usher. I have ways of getting ushers mad at me. Then he came back after the service, and boy, he let me have it. He said, "You are the most egotistical man I ever met." And right behind him was a little lady. Said, "Sir, you're wrong." And he said, "Why?" And she, I didn't even know her. She said, "That man right there, I was sick, bad sick, critically ill. And that man right there gave me $500 so I could go to the hospital." She said, "You're wrong." This old usher, well, I didn't know that. I got folks I've been a blessing to all over the country. About time somebody starts to whip me, some of my folks have been blessed with my ministry. They whip him for me. I was in a certain town in New York State. I got captured. I stayed in the corner of a building over here at 1:30 in the morning. Folks wouldn't let me out. Guess who delivered me, rescued me? One of my converts. He got his car running, came in and hollered fire or something. And everybody started looking to see what was wrong. He's like, come on. I took off running, got in the car, and I may have been killed that night. Except I had a convert there to help me out. How long has it been since you thought of anybody but yourself? Huh? How long? Thou shalt be a blessing. That's a secret. Father, help us. See the truth. My soul. There's enough truth in preaching this pulpit tonight to solve 90% of every problem in this room. Give our folks enough sense to see it. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I wonder tonight if you'd say, "Brother Hiles, somewhere along the trail you hit me right between the eyes. Holy Spirit, probe deep in my soul tonight. God's convicted me of living."